Father in heaven, we just thank you for this opportunity to again gather with brothers and sisters who desire to follow after you. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to keep this in mind every day of our lives, to live unto your glory and honor, for you are worthy of everything. Help us, Lord, to keep in mind to appreciate one another, because it might be our last day. As we think of different ones that have gone on before the last few weeks, Lord, we just help us, God, that we could keep this in our mind as we relate still on the earth, that we could prefer our brother above ourselves, that we could keep in mind why we're here, Lord, why you have us upon the earth. We ask, Father, that you just give us your Holy Spirit, that we can live the Christian life. We know we cannot live this life without your help. We cannot live according to the Spirit without your Spirit. Without you, we can do nothing. We are just like a dying tree without your life in us, without the sap from your Spirit. God, we just pray you just give that to us. Help us that we could cleanse our hearts from all sin and iniquity, that your Spirit could have a residence in our heart. Help us that we would not grieve your Holy Spirit by our lives not doing the right thing. Help us, God, that we could together be edified by your word today. Just commit this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. How many of you in this room like to do some reading? How many of you, when you open a new book, are tempted to read the end of the story first? Well, we're going to do a little bit of that right now. We're going to read Revelation chapter 5. This is not completely the end of the story, but it's toward the end. And then we're going to do some backtracking and see some of the early part of the story. Revelation chapter 5, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the beast, the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. What a beautiful ending to the story. Amen. Now, if you would, turn back to Matthew chapter 4 and start our message today. That's what I want to talk about today. Matthew chapter 4 starts in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And as we'll see later, we'll come back to the end of the story to finish up. But I wanted to start here as Jesus began his ministry, chapter 4, if you want to be there with me. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Now, how would you be feeling after 40 days and 40 nights fasting? You'd feel pretty weak, pretty faint and hungry. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Jesus had the power to do it. He could have easily provided food for himself, no problem. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus saith unto him, 'It is written,'" again, "'thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Here we see the first onset of Jesus' ministry. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness. This was God's will for him to go through this. It was not the easiest thing for him to go through, but this was God's will. Sometimes God has a will for us that isn't very easy. And he leads us into situations that are very difficult. But if we can keep God's word in our hearts and in our minds, that when we are tempted in those hard situations, not to let our faith slip. Amen. Okay, I wanted to look at this word worthy that we read there in Revelation. Worthy means possessing worth or excellence of qualities. So what we're going to be talking about today is worthy is the Lamb. We're going to be talking about this person of Jesus. And I really appreciated the opening and children's lesson. It seemed to go along good with what the Lord laid on my heart. In the Revelation there, if you want to turn back there, it's amazing to me how it calls Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and a few verses later it calls him the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? If you think of a lion, it's a strong, fierce animal that doesn't back down for anything. And if you think of a lamb, I mean, you try to kill a lion once, I mean, that's going to be a fight. I mean, you're not going to do it very easy. And it says Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He just meekly gave his life. And so it calls him both of these names, Lion of the tribe of Judah and Lamb. And so what that brought to my mind is what it says back in John. Why don't we turn there, Gospel of John. It says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and full of truth. Lord, help us. Some of us have more truth and some have more grace, but we need both. We need 100% truth and 100% grace. Just like Jesus. Let's read here part of this chapter. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to read a little more yet, and my heart in doing this is so we can see the proof and evidence that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is this special one that could open that book, the only one in heaven and earth. There's no other person in the whole universe that could open this book except Jesus. Verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou?
that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet, said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou them, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched, I am not worthy to unloose. John saw very clearly what a great man Jesus was. What an outstanding person. No one like him on the earth. He said he's not even worthy to untie his shoes. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, at the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. We have evidence, we have proof in God's word that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Praise God. We can have confidence, 100% sure that this is true. John realized how great Jesus was. And I hope we can get this in our heart to see really how great he is. Jesus was full of grace and truth, like we talked about already. How can we become like this? How can we get this into our lives? We cannot by ourselves, that's for sure. Let's seek him that we can become more like Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Have you taken time to do that? Behold the Lamb of God. Just behold him. See his character. See how my life is matching up with that. We're called to follow in his footsteps. How is my daily life fitting in with his character? Full of grace and truth. May the Lord help us. Struggling saint, have you considered Jesus, the Lamb of God, as your remedy for your struggles? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If sin is a struggle for you, this is your remedy. Take time to behold the Lamb of God. This reminded me of a story, Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that. Christian, he, by reading the Bible, he fell under conviction for his sins. And he got this burden on his back. And which in the story, it was an actual literal burden that was strapped to his back. And so I'm going to read just a few excerpts there. And he was wanting to get rid of this burden so bad that was weighing him down. And he was asking along the way, you know, how can he get rid of this burden? At one point, he tried to go to Mount Sinai to the law to get rid of his burden, and it just got heavier.
He tried by the law to get help, but that didn't work. And so he entered in at the narrow, wicket gate. And he was, asking, when am I going to get rid of this burden? And they said, well, you have to wait till the Lord's time. Anyway, he came. Says, now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. You find yourself running with a load. He ran thus till he came at the place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulcher. Now I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Praise God. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked therefore and looked again, even till the springs that were in his head sent the water down his cheeks. Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with, peace be to thee. So the first said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with a change of raiment. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he bid him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. So they went on their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing, thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came thither. What a place it is! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bind me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. My, how can the sight of Jesus free us from our burden? If you're burdened today, if you can just get a sight of him, it will free you from your burden. Going to turn over here to 2 Corinthians. There's a verse over there I want to read. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, your burdens fall off. Amen. There is liberty. Praise God. By beholding, we become changed. You ever consider that? What we look at, what we behold, will change us. If you behold the Lamb of God, you will become changed more into His image. If you behold, there's a lot of things we could talk about. If you behold, you name it. You fill in the gap. It will have an effect on you. Let's behold the Lamb of God. What we gaze at, what we look at, will affect us. If we can, by faith, see the place we are going, what a difference it would make in the trials we face here. If we can just see past this life, the last 2 weeks, we've had quite a number of brethren and sisters have passed on. Just think of Brother Oris. Yesterday, the funeral, had a great aunt last week, and different others.
Paul writes in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us."
Sometimes it's difficult to look past our circumstances. It's difficult to see past, in a sense, our clouded vision, that we can't see clearly into the next life while we're still here. Sometimes clearer than others, but if we can, with the Lord's help, see past what we're facing here and see the glory that is awaiting those who follow Christ.
Amen. There's something else from Pilgrim's Progress that is going to bring in here. When Pilgrim passed the cross, he continued on and he met these three men that were sleeping, called Simple, Sloth, and Presumption. They were sleeping with chains on their feet, and he tried to wake them up, and they were asleep in their sin and they didn't want to be woke up. And he went on, he met these two other men called Formalist and Hypocrisy, that didn't think it mattered how you became a Christian. You just believe, you know, you just jump over the wall. And they ended up going off and getting destroyed. Then he went up this hill called Difficulty, and he came up to this palace, Beautiful. And in this palace, he stayed overnight. And there were some of the king's servants there. There was a porter named Watchful, and he had some daughters named Prudence, Piety, and Charity. And here was a little bit of a conversation between Christian and Prudence. Prudence asked Christian, "Can you remember by what means you find your temptations at times as if it were subdued?" Christian said, "Yes. When I think of what I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I think upon my broidered coat that he was given when he after his burden fell off, that will do it. And when I look into the roll that I carry in my bosom, that will do it. And when my thoughts wax warm about whither I am going, that will do it." So here is four keys for victory for Christian. When you think about what Jesus did for you, when you're tempted, think about what Jesus did for you. Number two, look at the new life He has given you. Number three, look and read God's Word. Number four, think about going to heaven. That would help. If we're facing temptations, do those four things. Think about what Jesus did for you, how He washed your sins away. Look at the new life He's given you. Read God's Word. Think about going to heaven. What armor that He's given us. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses there, talking about the Lamb of God, great high priest. Hebrews chapter 1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Jesus is a very outstanding person. There's no one like him under heaven or on the earth. And these verses that were quoted here are found back in Psalms, which was spoken, prophesied many years before Jesus was even here. And he has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And when he came, that is exactly what he did. As we found out there in Matthew chapter 4, he hated Satan's temptations. He didn't listen to them. He said, Get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here. You shall worship the Lord only. May that be our heart as we go through life. Hate iniquity. Hate sin. A little bit more in chapter 2. Verse 5, For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Skipping down to verse 9, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Praise God. Suffering is not an easy thing. Suffering is a difficult thing for the flesh. It doesn't feel good. It's never convenient. Suffering is never convenient. We need to trust in God's mercy. God's in charge. He knows what's good for us. He knows how much we can handle. But suffering does do something to refine our lives. I trust that we can trust Him in that way. Now let's turn back to Revelation 5. We're going to spend most of the rest of our time back there. In our text, my heart today is to exalt the Lamb of God, exalt Him. I so appreciated the opening, Brother Paul, and hearing those stories of Jesus. There's nothing like it. He's still touching people today. There's nothing better than to be touched by God. We need those touches throughout our life. One time isn't enough. We need continual working in our life. One more verse here before we talk more about this. Acts 17 says, For in him we live and move and have our being. So you can't even live, you can't even move without him. You ever think about that? Wake up in the morning, I couldn't even get out of bed without Jesus. Amen. You can't even move without Jesus. You may say, well, you know, is that really so? Well, it says it here. In Him we live and move and have our being. Revelation 5.
This stuck out to me yesterday, talking about worthy is the Lamb. He is this person, this being, this special one that is the only one that could open this book. Revelation 5, no man, verse 3, in heaven, in earth, under the earth, was able to open it or even look on it. Hard to fathom. No one in this room could have even come close to opening this book. And John, the writer of Revelation, he wept much because he could find no one to open this book. And then one of the elders said unto him, verse 5, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open it. Praise God. Let's look down here now in verse 12. I have 8 different things that Jesus is worthy of. Number 1 was to take and open the book. Number 2, we'll find this in verse 12, is power. Jesus is worthy of power. Today, you know, it says when Jesus talked to his disciples, they were striving about who's going to be the greatest. Jesus said to him, you know, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship and they want to be the greatest, you know, see who can get to the top and see who can win the presidency, you know, and they don't win it. They're all bent out of shape and whatever, you know, how we just saw this last 6 months in our country here. You know, they're trying to be the greatest, you know, get to the top. And Jesus taught a different way. He taught a way of serving. That's the way to be great. But Jesus is worthy of power. The word power means command, the right of governing or actual government, dominion, rule, sway, authority. Under the sense, this sense may be comprehended civil, political, ecclesiastical, and military power. Legal authority, warrant as a power of attorney. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power. He's worthy of power. And someday he's going to be the all-powerful one over the whole universe. He is already, but as it says in Hebrews, we see not yet all things put under him. At this point, Satan still is on a leash, so to speak. But someday he is going to be gone forever. Amen. Jesus will be receiving all power. Number 3, riches, wealth, affluence, possessions of land, goods, or money in abundance. Jesus is worthy of everything you own or possess. Everything we think is ours is actually really not ours. In Corinthians it says, know you not that ye are not your own? We're not our own. None of our stuff we think we own is ours, really. You ever think about that? It's actually God's. Because if he didn't give you breath to breathe in the morning, you wouldn't last too long. All our stuff is God's. He's worthy of riches. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. Number 4, wisdom. The right use or exercise of knowledge. It differs somewhat from prudence in the respect that prudence is the exercise of sound judgment in avoiding evils. Wisdom is the exercise of sound judgment either in avoiding evils or attempting good. Jesus is worthy of wisdom, to receive wisdom. Prudence, it then, is a species of which wisdom is the genius. In Scripture, theology, wisdom is true religion, godliness, piety, the knowledge and fear of God, and sincere and uniform obedience to His commands. This is the wisdom which is from above. Jesus is worthy to receive wisdom. Number five, strength. We're finding these words here in Revelation 5, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength. Firmness, solidity or toughness, the quality of bodies by which they sustain the application of force without breaking or yielding. Power or vigor of any kind, support, that which supports, that which supplies strength, security, power of mind, intellectual force, the power of any faculty, as strength of memory, strength of reason, strength of judgment, legal or moral force, validity, the quality of binding, uniting or securing, as the strength of social or legal obligation, soundness, force, the quality that convinces, persuades, or commands assent, as the strength of an argument or a reasoning, the strength of evidence. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength. Number six, honor. The esteem due or paid to worth. Who are you worshiping? Who do you pay this worth to in your life? High estimation. Jesus is worthy of honor. A testimony of esteem, any expression of respect or of high estimation by words or actions. Dignity, exalted rank or place, distinction, reverence, veneration, or any act by which reverence and submission are expressed as worship paid to the Supreme Being. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength, to receive honor. Amen. He's worthy of everything. Number seven, He's worthy of glory. Brightness, luster, splendor. Praise ascribed in adoration. Honor, praise, fame, renown, celebrity, the divine perfections or excellence, distinguished honor or adornment, that which honors or makes renowned, that of which one may boast. He's worthy of glory. The Lamb is worthy of glory. This is a lifetime assignment for all of us to give to Him that which He is worthy of. Number eight, blessing. He's worthy of blessing. Benediction. A wish of happiness pronounced. A prayer imparted. Imploring. A prayer imploring happiness upon another. A solemn prophetic benediction in which happiness is desired, invoked, or foretold. Any means of happiness, a gift, benefit, or advantage, that which promotes temporal prosperity and welfare or secures immortal felicity, which is happiness. A just and pious magistrate is a public blessing. The divine favor is the greatest blessing. He's worthy of blessing. Amen. What do you want in life? More money or God's blessing? God may bless you with that, but may God help us to count the divine favor the greatest blessing. Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. Let's turn now over to, in conclusion, Revelation chapter 11. There's a verse here I want to read. As we started out there in Matthew chapter 4, talking about how Satan tempted Jesus, he offered him all the kingdoms of the world. To me, that seems like a mockery because Jesus already was the king. But God, this was in His plan that Jesus walks the low road first. Because then there will be nobody, no one, that can deny that He is worthy of everything.
because he has trodden the way before us in such a humble way. When he comes in all power to reign, every knee is going to bow. There'll be no question. Revelation 11, 15, this is the getting to the end of the story. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. I could keep reading, but I think we'll stop there. This is to the end of the story. Jesus is going to take all power and going to reign forever and ever. Amen? Amen. No questions. Nobody's going to stop this. This is going to be for real. This is for real. Forever and ever. If you think about, as we go through this modern life, it seems like there's so many, would you say, temporal things, even worse in our more modern age, there's so much plastic stuff, you know, you ever notice that? And if you compare forever and plastic, it's a big difference. If you consider something like steel or cast iron or copper or something like that, it's a little closer to forever, but we deal with so much plastic nowadays, plastic toys and these gadgets in our pockets, and you know, and they just fall in the water and they're done, you know. And what I'm excited about is Jesus going to reign forever. Amen. His kingdom is of an everlasting quality. Satan's kingdom is temporary. He wants to make people think they're going to have a lot of fun, you know, baits them with whatever this world has to offer, you know, but it doesn't last. Jesus is going to reign forever. Let's turn now over to Revelation 22 to conclude. Okay, Revelation 22. This is the end of the story. This is going to be final. Someday it's going to be real. Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, praise God, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done. It's so hard to lose loved ones. So hard to go through that. You know, we don't know which of us is next. We don't like to think about that from our human perspective, but only God knows which of us will be next. But if we're ready for the one who goes, it's wonderful. The rest of us feel the loss. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things.
Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Him that is heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.